So a couple of quick things before I get rolling in the Word. We have a high school youth ministry meeting every Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock. It's called Highway 77. We call it that because we say it's the best 77 minutes of their week. It starts at 4 and ends at 5:17, parents. So just heads up on that. And, you know, I just want to reemphasize that all of you high school kids are invited to that. I just am falling in love with you all over again and just love working with you guys. And God just gave me a new series of teachings and experiences, more importantly for you, called Finding Jesus. And one of the things I've noticed in my, you know, working with the high school kids this year, which is kind of a return for me after quite a while away from youth ministry, it's different in that although many of our kids squarely believe the Bible to be true, that it's not a given. You can't start with the Bible with teenagers today, or probably a lot of people in our culture today. What you have to do instead is show them Jesus and then show them in the Bible where that is. And so they go, oh, okay. And then so you sort of back into the Bible. And so the Lord has shown me seven ways that teenagers can experience Jesus. And I'm going to, if you're a high school student, please come at 4. And particularly if you're a parent of a high school student who doesn't have any interest in these things, this would be a great time for them to come, because I'm kind of cut out for that. And I didn't have any interest in things like this when I was in high school. But I can't get going down that road. Just if they could come now, it'd just be exceptional, okay? 4 o'clock. Okay, also, how many of you here love Christian, a pastor Christian, huh? Anybody love him? Yeah, I have to say the 9 o'clock was a lot more exuberant about him. They loved him a lot more. What's going on there? Yeah. It's too late. It's too late. Listen. Yeah, you know, he's just fantastic, and he's water from the rock, just as we prayed. And how many of you love Christian enough to help him move next Saturday, huh? Okay. So next Saturday, I'm so excited that Christian and Celeste and Sam are going to actually move so quickly from their area up around Morris and Carl up there and have a house just 45 seconds north of here on Knoll Crest. And we'll need some people there at 9 to help them load the truck up there. And some people, all things work out perfectly, be here at 11 to help them unload the truck. So if you're planning on going up there at 9, would you please stand? Everybody's clapping. Oh, Christian's standing. That's good. I'm glad. Okay, there we go. That's perfect. So your plan, would you stop by the welcome desk on the way out? They'll give you the address, and that's 9 o'clock. Great, thank you. You may sit down. And for those of you who are planning to help on this end, everybody was so excited a minute ago, at 11 o'clock this coming Saturday, would you please stand? Well, that's going to grease these wheels up. Okay, you know, wait a second. Gotcha. All right. Would you guys stop by the welcome desk on the way out and get your address and your time? It should move very smoothly. I mean, they're young. How much stuff can they have, right? So, okay. Many of you here today are born again. You're born again believers. Something happened in your life at a time when you understood your need of Jesus. Maybe you weren't looking for him, but he apparently was really looking for you. Something happened in many of your lives where you just came to that place where you said, I am a sinner and I need a Savior. I need the work of the cross in my life. And it just suddenly sort of clicked. And you responded, didn't you? You came and you repented and you believed and you received. And when you received Christ, the part that was born again in you was given a number of things, and one of the things is a voice, a way to speak to God that you didn't have before. It's a way to speak to God, an avenue of connection with God, and this heart inside of you has been trying to get its words, right? you know, you have the, you, how many of you, you know, you kind of have a, you have that sense, it's almost a feeling, it's not quite emotional, it's something a little different, but it's like, what are the words for it? I don't know. Well, that's what Christian and I have been doing these last few weeks, is really just trying to help you find your voice with God so that you can speak from your heart to the heart of God so that you can have this relationship. And we're using the very words of Jesus who, when, you know, when he was asked, so how do you talk to the Father? And he said, he gave that famous passage that we, many of us, recognize as the Lord's Prayer, right? And it's pretty recognizable in Matthew chapter 6. He gave us some vocab words for our hearts. And the first one was Father. Just start by learning to say Father as a young child would learn, a baby would learn to say Dada. You know, just say Father. And Romans says he's Abba. He is our dad. He is our daddy, you know. It's such an intimate, wonderful thing to be able to say from your heart. And there can be a lot of blocks between the head and the heart, especially for men. The pride block can keep that from getting down into our hearts where we can cry out and say, Dad, Daddy. That's such a marvelous thing when your heart learns that word. But, you know, before we get too casual, the second word was holy, right? Hallowed be your name, your holy God. That's such an amazing reality, right? That he's not only our Father, but he's absolutely holy, pure, perfect. His character is essentially perfect, without flaw. And this drives us down to our faces, right? Our first word, we lift up our arms. The second word, we're on our faces. And then last week, Pastor Christian brought that phrase, your kingdom come, your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. It's like that our hearts could learn to say, you know, kingdom, just come, Lord. Could we just experience the mingling of the kingdom of God here on earth? That it's right here. God isn't coming from far off, right? It's right here. We just have to kind of shift the light so that we're looking. The kingdom of God is in this room right now. As we acknowledge the rule and reign of God, then it becomes more obvious, right? The kingdom of God was evident in our worship. That stirring you're experiencing, that's evidence of the presence of his kingdom. And so it's here, but that heart cry, kingdom come, it changes the lighting on the room so you can see it. How many of you, you know, you've ever looked at a black light painting, right, without the black light? And it's like, yeah, big deal. You know, you're Velvet Elvis. How many of you know what I'm talking about, right? But you flip on the black light and you go, oh, well, there you go. You know, you can see the porpoise jumping out of his nose or something, whatever wasn't, you couldn't see before. But with a change of light, you could see it. That's kingdom. Kingdom of God is here, Jesus said. As we establish the rule and reign of God, acknowledge the rule and reign of God in our lives, individually and collectively, then the light changes and we see his kingdom. I want to give you your fourth vocabulary word from the next phrase in the prayer, and it might be a little bit different. What is the next phrase in the Lord's Prayer? What are we up to? Murmuring Israelites. Oh, let's show them. 1, 2, 3. Give us this day our daily bread. That's the next thing that Jesus taught us to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. And in contained, it's a little bit hidden in there, is your next vocabulary word. It's not give and it's not bread. It's the word is life. The word is life. Give us today our life. God has life to give to you. God has life to give to you. And this prayer is, give us today our daily life. I mean, praying, give us this day our daily bread, we can gloss by that so quickly. Why? Because our cupboards are full, right? How many of you have like Twinkies and the Chef Boyardee ravioli? Everything you need for the day is already there, right? How many of you open full cupboards and go, oh, what do you feel like today? I don't know. I mean, so to pray, give us this day our daily bread, is all but lost on us. Now, this is an area where I think our poorer brothers and sisters in other parts of the world actually have a distinct advantage. I know the first time I went to India in 1995, and after a week of preaching to pastors at a conference, then I went out into the remote parts of South Central India with a gospel team. These were like four 18 to 20-year-old young Indian men who went to, from village to village to village to evangelize. And they were so excited. I remember when we caught up with them, they were so excited, not because I was there, but because God had given them a potato. They carried a bag of rice with them. That was their provision. But God had provided a potato. So we had, the six of us, rice and 1/6 of a potato. Give us, that's a different place, isn't it? And isn't it interesting that in those different places where there's such a dependence on God, we so freely see Holy Spirit move in signs and wonders as well. Could there be a connection? Maybe. Maybe. Give us this day our daily bread. I had the wonderful privilege of spending 3 days, actually 5 days, but the first 3 days of Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday last week with two of my grown sons, Bruce, who many of you know, and Brad, who many of you know. And we had this long plan. We started on our bicycles with our back wheels in Lake Erie, and we pedaled 220 miles for 3 days down to Columbus. And then on Saturday and Sunday, I was joined, I'll get to that later, but joined with some wonderful people from the church, who, that's where I was last weekend, was we were pedaling the rest of the way, 112 miles to Cincinnati. I'll get to the rest of that in a minute. I just want to brag a minute. Okay. And so, but as we were riding, we had these wonderful divine appointments. We saw healings on the path as we stopped to pray for people. It was just crazy cool. But, you know, the satisfaction of a man spending 3 days with his grown sons in an environment like that was really remarkable. And we also had those light times, you know. And my son Bruce, he was reminding me as we were pedaling along one day, he was reminding me that when they were kids, I would not let them watch The Simpsons. I wouldn't let them watch The Simpsons. I thought it was the devil. You can't watch The Simpsons. And they're like, come on, Dad, let us watch The Simpsons. And finally, they wore me down and they said this, just watch one with us. You'll see, you know, they know that my spiritual gift is cynicism, so I would probably really like it, you know. And so they said, just watch one episode. And so, okay, I'll watch an episode with you guys and then I'll render my decision, right? And this episode was one that, as the thing rolled out, a bunch of people were gathered together to eat, and they called on Bart to say the grace. Bart, would you say the grace? Here was his prayer. Dear God, we paid for all this stuff ourselves, so thanks for nothing. I said, boys, shut her down. That's exactly why you're not going to watch The Simpsons. And Bruce was just kind of laughing, saying, of all the things you could have seen, you know, it had to be that. But I wonder if that somehow infected the attitude of the American Christian, you know. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, I should probably pray that because it's in the prayer, but I have stuff. I worked hard for it. And I'll never take away from how hard any of you work. You see, I worked hard for it. Because I worked hard for it, I got a check. And because I got a check, I went to the grocery and I filled my cupboards. Turn to your Bibles just as a little reference to Deuteronomy chapter 8, just so we always keep this in perspective. Deuteronomy, way in the Old Testament for you guys who are newer. It goes Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. So that'd give you Deuteronomy chapter 8. These are the Israelites. Moses is speaking to them. Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're going to start in verse 10. Moses says, when you have eaten and are satisfied, that sounds familiar, right? When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble you and to test you, so, catch this, so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember, the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. Let us never forget that our very capacity to do the things that we do, to earn our livings, is a gift from God. So praying, give us this day our daily bread, might be lost on us at some level. But it's a daily thing. He says, come to me daily and ask me for your needs. He does say needs, right? And in so doing, he's supporting what he's told us before. Don't worry about tomorrow. Give me this day my daily bread, not weekly bread, not monthly bread, not annual bread. Give me my daily bread, right? Give me what I need for today, because he said, I don't want you to worry about tomorrow. How many of you Jesus calling Sarah Young fans in the room like me? And this week you read what she said about worrying about tomorrow. If you use your magnificent mind to worry about tomorrow, you cloak yourself in dark unbelief. When you decide to worry about tomorrow, you are actually wrapping yourself in a garment of doubt. When you say, I'll take no thought for tomorrow, God will provide, then you open up your own faith. So here we have this call from the Lord, give us this day our daily bread. That's the obvious meaning, and we should pray that. But there is a less than obvious meaning that came to me this week. I've been praying this prayer every day in some manner or another for decades, and I got fresh bread from it this week. You know how cool it is to be this age and still have Jesus showing you new things in the Bible? Do you know how cool that is? Hello? I mean, I work with you, some of you young adults, and they're like, Pastor Tom, did you see this? And I'm like, yeah, I've seen that, yeah. And I get that. But here I am, and I turn the page, and I pray, and I meditate, and God goes, kaboom! Kaboom! And it's so enlightening, it's so powerful. Something happened this week. When you look at this, give us this day our daily bread, it might feel, in the context of the prayer, like you're falling off a ledge. Because it starts out, Father, and then takes a step up, Holy, oh, kingdom come, bread. We're still gaining altitude. There's another way to look at this where you're still gaining altitude. Now listen, I love etymology. Does anybody else here love etymology? How many of you admit you don't know what etymology is, right? Isn't that the study of bugs or something, or... Etymology, E-T-Y-M-O-L-O-G-Y, is the study of the evolution of a word. Now, I know some of you, whenever I say evolution, you just shut down and say, we're out of here, honey, he's a liberal. I don't mean it that way. I just mean the development of a word. That a word is a sound, correct? But it's a sound that means something. It's a sound that represents something. And etymology is the study of where did that word come from? How did you get that word in the first place? And if you look at the Greek and you say, give us this day our daily bread, the word for bread in Greek, you won't care, but it's artos. Now that's the word for bread. Give us this day our daily bread. But if you do the etymology study on it, you see that it was derived from a word airo. And we would spell that A-I-R-O, air-O, drop the O. It came from the word for air. And the reason is because what is bread? What makes bread rise? But the gas is released by the yeast, right? And so that, you know, those little holes in bread. Does anybody know? Yeah, little air bubbles, right? So the word for bread is like rise. Got it, didn't you? Give us this day our daily rise, our daily life, our daily air. It's life. It's God has something to give us that goes way beyond the meal. And it's something that only He has to give us. It's life. It's air. That's why when I stepped up here, I said, I think I might have had a little too much to breathe. Yeah. Give me this day my daily life, my daily breath, my daily air. God has something to give to us in breath that we can't get any other way but ask Him. Jesus said, I've come that you might have what? Here's why I came. You can work hard, you can get money, and you can go to the Kroger, and you can buy groceries, and you can make your meal, but you know what you can't give yourself? Is life, is the lift, the redemptive lift of God. Hello? And that's what you're really gasping for. It's the rise. I told you about riding a bicycle, you know, and it's such a great illustration, which is why I even bothered to talk about it today. I love my old bike. It's almost 20 years old, and it's just a rack bike, and I've tricked out with stuff from Walmart, you know, and stuff, and eBay, you know, so to get it to where I want it so I can ride it long distances. It's got thousands of miles on it. It's just a bike. Something about that bike, though, that's important right now. But I got to tell you, before I tell you what's important about that bike, how proud I am of the people from this church who just got word that my boys and I were making that ride, and it kind of evolved very organically several months ago that they said, well, we want to train, we want to ride our bikes so that we'll be ready to ride the last 112 miles with you. And they trained, and they got together. It was all just sort of a goofy little organic email thing. It wasn't a church-sponsored thing. It was just a bunch of people from the church who said, I'd like to do that. And so Karen and I scoped out a little motel halfway, a little motel halfway, and we stopped there and spent the night and walked up to the restaurant because nobody wanted to ride the bikes. And we had a wonderful time together as a group, had a little worship service in my motel room before we left Sunday morning, and rode the rest of the way, and it was fantastic, and I'm so proud of those people because they're a diverse group of people, you know, quite a wide group, different kinds of people. My son Brad said, Dad, how did you get this group together? I don't know, buddy. It must have been the Lord. And I was proud of all of them because it's a long way to pedal. But I was never more proud of anybody other than this man right here. I want to tell you something about Dick Gilmore. I took that picture because of what his helmet had done to his hair. I said, I got to get this. Hold still, Dick. This was in front of our motel. You can see how fancy this trip was, right? I want to tell you something about this brother who said, I'm going to make that trip with you. He said that back in about April, I guess. When he completed the 112 miles between Galloway and the Ohio River, it was 6 months to the day from his open heart surgery. So while y'all are sitting there going, well, I'd exercise, but my foot kind of hurts. Use your arms. I'd exercise, but Dick's sitting right there. Why don't you just have a little chat with him before you go? He's a beautiful, humble brother, and he will inspire you. Yeah, inspires me. But let me tell you why I'm talking about bicycles at all. Because that old bicycle of mine, I love it. I love it. I love the way it sounds when I ride it. I love the way it feels. I love how heavy it is when I put it up on the rack in the back of my truck. I love it. But there's something about that bike that is so illustrative of our relationship with God. And that's that without me, that bike has no life. Without me, that bike has no, as beautiful as it is, 21 speeds, ready to go, new tires, ready to go. Without me, it is nothing. But the transformation that occurs for it and for me when I climb on it is almost mystical. When you ride 80 miles through Holmes County on one day, day two, not another, something happens. And I just wonder how much that illustrates Jesus who said, I have come that they may have life and they may have it to the full. That you're a beautiful thing to God. You are a beautiful creation of God. But without the life of God, without the air, give us this day our daily life. Some of you right now can think of your bicycle that's in the garage and hasn't been ridden in, right? It's a lifeless thing. Give us this day our daily life. I need some volunteers. Yeah, about 7 volunteers work. Just jump right up here, make a little line. Can you get another guy up here at least? One more guy? Thank you, Thomas. Have we ever met before? Have we practiced anything? I want you to do something. I want you to get in the prayer zone for a minute. Just do whatever it is you do just to pray. Can you just... I want to see something. Yeah, that sounds good. And think about that. You just kind of drop in to that spot. Get that head space, that heart space going. You say, God, I want to pray now. And from your heart, you can use your lips if you like, but from your heart, would you just pray, Father? Just let your heart cry out to your dad. Perfect Heavenly Father. And now let your heart cry to your Father, Holy, 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 Holy. Now would you let your heart say, Kingdom come. You're asking the Lord to change the lighting so you can see His kingdom that's already there. Kingdom come. And now from that place, would you just pray, give me this day my daily air, and then take a deep breath. Let's see if anything happened. Okay, you guys. Can 2 or 3 of you just real briefly describe if something happened when you prayed that prayer and what it was? Sue, you're looking at me.
I felt like I was floating.
Just a little bit kind of dizzy for a second. Just a little bit kind of dizzy for a second.
You felt raised up, Charlene? Anybody else? You guys, anything happen? Or is this just for ladies?
I, When I breathe like that, and this is something I like to do. I like to just sit and breathe, and it's just a sense that peace. I get that peace from just taking in that breath and just letting it come in and out. And so, this is familiar to me because I love to do this. That when you talk about the bike, it's my running shoes, and that's where I get my. That's where I feel life.
I had to take a few deep breaths. My chest got really, really tight there for a second, and I had to take two or three good breaths before it just, I don't know, so my lungs just released.
When I breathed in, I was just thinking God is the breath of life, so I was breathing in God, and I just got so happy. He was in me.
Thank you. Seriously, thank you. It's brave to do something like that. You want life, don't you? You want breath. You want the breath of God. My wife Karen has a respiratory issue going on right now. She went to see our doctor. He's a good doctor. And he told her that right now in Central Ohio, every chest x-ray, every CT scan is showing nodules because of something that's in the air. He said, I could do that, but I'll tell you what it's going to show. And, you know, just because we're here, we're breathing this, then I don't go worried about your nodules. I'm using it as an illustration. I just want to say to you, as we live in culture, we lose our capacity for breathing God just diminishes. And it's so clear, isn't it, that he wants I am the breath of life. He breathed into the nostrils of man, the Bible says, the breath of life, right? So maybe some of you would like to just present yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, I'd like for you to clear out my lungs, my spiritual lungs, so that I could breathe, I could have that exchange of the Lord across my alveoli, my spiritual membrane, you know? It also strikes me that there are very likely people in here right now who have yet to take their first breath. There's very likely somebody here who, I haven't even come to the place of knowing Jesus as my Savior. I mean, I've heard about it. I've had various false starts or whatever, and I don't know Jesus like you guys are talking about here, where you can breathe him. Today is your day to change that. You see, when you're born again, the Bible says when we come to Christ, we're born again. Well, what does a baby do first? Breathes and cries, right? Well, we're here for you. We want to help you with your breath, help you with your crying. So if you're, just a moment, we're going to have some ministry time. Won't take long. And be people moving around. And if you're a person who says, I want to come to Jesus Christ as my Savior today, I want you just to go into that room right over there. And Pastor Christian will be over in there just waiting to help you, talk with you, pray with you, give you a Bible, get you going. Okay? Put your first baby clothes on you. I'd also like to have some prayer ministry people up along the side for people who just want to be prayed for. Maybe they get some spiritual breath or something entirely unrelated to what we're talking about. We stand together, please, church. Thank you, Father. We welcome you. Appreciate so much your presence. Come, Holy Spirit. If you'd like to receive prayer from these men and women who have been through our prayer ministry training, just come on up over to them. And again, if you'd like to come and find Christ in your life, just walk through that door. Hey, Pat, move over just a little bit, would you? There you go. Thanks. Some people in there to pray with you, receive Christ, take your first breath.